And for many of us, you know, there was a lot of traffic getting here. I want you to just suspend all of that for the time being. Just allow it to drop away from you as you listen to the Singing Bowl. You can always pick up whatever it is that you wish to pick up later on the way out. But for now, we're going to declare this as a place of haven, a place of respite, and also a place where we're going to explore the energy that's held inherently within us, and in particular, the light that's held within us. So take a nice deep breath in. Just allow the energy of the bowl to wash over you. Clearing away and allowing you to center. Allowing yourself to feel completely rooted and grounded in the physicality of the space. Take a few deep breaths in. Each of the exhales, gently allow yourself to become more firmly rooted in the physicality of who you are. Take another deep breath in. No tension in the shoulders or the neck, just gently release it out. And allow it to be carried out on the waves of the vibration of the sound. Deep breath in. Open your eyes and be fully present and fully aware of this moment in time. So the title of this workshop is The Breath of Light. And just as a little bit of a background on this, my background personally in terms of spiritual path is very diversified. I've taken many meanderings, all really coming back to the same central source, but drawing a lot of information from all of it. This is a protocol that I started working with several years ago, and it evolved out of focusing a lot of my teachings and work on energy work, what the energetic body looked like, what the blueprint of that was, how you could use it to enliven yourself, and more practically, how you could also use it effectively to enliven everything around you. Because quite frankly, in my own belief system, that is what the great work and the service is all about, is what type of catalytic energy I can infuse within myself and then have impact on others. So I worked with a variety of different modalities, and this particular one evolved from a variety of sources, again, and I won't name all of them. It's strongly rooted in some Eastern philosophies, some very ancient yogic practices, and I'll point that out when we get a little bit further along in what we're actually going to be doing. And then it also works at a more practical level, with being able to use this to empower your speaking, to empower and enlivening the work that you do, your interactions with others, because there are specific chakra points that you can use to do that, and I'm doing that now, even though you're not aware of it. I'm enlivening specific chakras in my body so that the words I am saying to you will also resonate with you at those specific points within your own subtle bodies, which means that a lot of the blah, 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 blah that you might be hearing is not the important part. It's actually the space that's in between those blah, blah, blahs that you are responding to at an energetic level, even though you may not be consciously aware of it right now. And those are the aha moments that we have when we go to a workshop or we go to a ritual. And sometimes we even come out of it and we think, oh, I really didn't get anything out of that at all, you know? And then 3 weeks later, something happens and it triggers something in here and it moves something in here. And you realize that, yes, that's exactly what that was about. And that's why I am in this point, in this space, in this time right now. Because of something that occurred that sometimes we can't even trace back to us. So that's part of where this entire protocol and technique came into play. And we'll talk a little bit later about specific uses that you could use this for. Primarily, it's something that you really have to practice in order for it to become second nature to you. And, you know, in this work, we say that we want to live the work, not just speak the work. So this is actually something that if you do the work and you practice, you will, like a magnet, draw people to you in a very good and positive way. So that's a little bit of the background behind what we're doing. Now, I have printed up a very nice handout for you, and those of you who have taken classes with me before know that I love visuals. This would have been a lit candle, but I didn't realize it had to be enclosed in glass. So for now, we will use our magical visualization and see this flaming beautifully and brightly, all right? as we are speaking and as we move through the work. I have the handout for you because primarily I needed it to back myself up so that I could give this to you in a way that would make sense, that would be step by step, and we would be building layer upon layer of what we're doing here. Now, remember, I said to you that my background is very diverse, so some of the things I'm going to interject here are not necessarily your traditional Wiccan theologies. They are not necessarily your straightforward Eastern, Tantric, Yogic, Tibetan, Buddhist, whatever philosophies. It is a syncretic, synthesized blend of all of it. So to begin with, the first thing I have up here is pranayama, or breath. The concept of pranayama, it is actually one of the eight limbs of yoga. When I say eight limbs of yoga, yoga is more than just the physical practice that most of us know about. There are actually eight sections to the yogic practice that are developed in a way so that they will address the whole of the person, the holistic mind, the body, the energy levels, a physical component, a meditative component, a mental component. So pranayama, or use of the breath, control of the breath, is something that is actually a huge staple in many of the mystical Eastern practices. Now, why do we want to control our breath? Well, one of the reasons for that is because wherever there is awareness, there is usually breath in that awareness. Again, you may not be aware of it, but it is usually because your breath has carried you to a specific point that the energy will then follow that awareness. And the energy can be moved as a fluid, and I'm using fluid purposefully, throughout the body, using the vehicle of breath. So if we can control our breath, if we know how to use our breath in specific ways, purposefully, with intent, then we can also, therefore, control the energy that we're moving through our body. So that's one of the reasons. The other thing is that if we think of pranayama, the energy is sustained through that control of the breath. That's another important piece of it. It's not just moving it, but it's also sustaining it so that it then can be transformed or transmuted into a more refined essence, which is still energy nonetheless, but it is of a different and a higher nature. So that's something that you would want to think about when you're thinking about the control of the breath. And within the yogic system, and we're not going to do this today, but there are many ways of using that. There's the breath of fire, which are very rapid. It's almost rapid panting breath. It's used with Kundalini yoga. It's very difficult to do correctly because literally it's you know, an hour of this very rapid, very controlled breathing. The whole intent is to build up the stores of energy to a point where there is that kundalinic explosion, if you will. Another technique that we are kind of going to use, but not exactly, and this is something I found, and I can't even point you back to where I found this, but in some of the mystical practices, the yogis actually use as the entry point either the urethra or the anal point to breathe into. Now, this sounds extraordinarily odd, and when I first read it, I thought, that's kind of an interesting concept. However, it is something that if you send your conscious awareness to those particular points, for these purposes, I'm simply going to say the perineum area, because that's the point of the central column, and we'll talk about that a little bit too. But if you use the other access points, it actually works in a very interesting way in drawing the energy into you. And there comes a point where if you send your focus and awareness to either of those specific points, you will begin to feel the stirrings. And usually it manifests as arousal, because it's all coming into the genital area, through that area. The purpose of the arousal is so that it will stimulate and send the energy in a more directed way, in a more directed focus, not to leave it there for the aspect of just pure pleasure, but to begin the process. Because if you think about sexual energy, it's one of the rawest and most primal forms, but it's also one of the most potent forms, particularly when it's done in the sacred way of tantric sex. And used to literally enliven and open all of those points. So those are two of some of the techniques that are actually used in the practice of drawing the energy up and having control of your breath. If we think about breath at just a pure practical level, you know, it is what sustains us. We need air to breathe. It is what fills our lungs. It is what expands for us, and it is also what we contract into. When we are nervous, we tend to breathe more quickly. And in that quickness of breathing, when we are nervous or excited, when we get the stirrings, the butterflies in the solar plexus area, well, that's actually the awakening of the energy in that area. So the quick breathing is helping to enhance that, although it may not feel like it's helping because you just want to run somewhere and not be front and center. But that's the purpose of it, and that's the connection. Prana in Sanskrit actually translates to breathing forth. So I don't want us to just think about the air we take in. I want us to also think about that reciprocity of the air that we expand out, which is a primary principle of magical work. We have contraction and we have expansion. One will not work without the other. There has to be that moment of contraction, and then there has to be that moment of release. There also has to be that moment of stasis right in between, which is the neutral point, the place of the transformation. We use it as a spiritual anchor as well. Because, and how we can use that is, for instance, if we are doing invocations, if we are calling quarters, if we are making statements to deity, and we want to have energy behind those statements. If you think about drawing the breath up as you are issuing forth the words, more importantly, if you connect your solar plexus with the throat center, and at times with the third eye, and you send those words out with the connection of those three being your anchors, you will hear a difference in the person who is giving that invocation than someone who is not using their breath, who is talking at a very bland way and not really projecting it from anything else or anything other. Did you hear how my voice changed? Because I'm not really projecting it from anywhere other than in my throat at that point. However, if I engage everything else, not only does the timbre of the voice change, but the quality. And it extends and it reaches out, and I can see that you're all reacting and responding to me in a way. If we look at breath in terms of the element, and I put the topic element here for air, primarily because if you think of it in terms of the topic attributions versus just plain, okay, air is mind, intellect, well, I shouldn't say just plain. That's very useful too, but for these purposes, if you incorporate the topic element into it as well, it's a lot juicier. There's a lot more to that air than just the thoughts that I think, the breath that I issue forth, the words that I say. I have here, and in the topic attributions, it's called vayu, if you wanted to look that up and get the pure form of it, because sometimes it's a little difficult to find. As I was thinking about this, you know, air is the only element that does not have a physical manifestation to it. Fire we see. Water we see. Earth we are. Air, the only way we know that air is present is because of the effect or the impact that the air has on something that is surrounding us. And what is that something? It is actually the energy that is surrounding us. We know that it is windy because we can see the trees blowing and the leaves moving. We know that we are not taking in enough air because we start gasping. We know that we're taking in too much air because we start hiccuping. So if you think about air itself, and even air in the form of steam and mist, we only see it because it has something else reacting upon it, which is the fire that's reacting upon it. So what I did was I broke down the four forms of air, and actually there are five, the spirit of air. If you take it purely from the topic principles, you're going to think of air of air, which is the most pure essence of that air. You can also think of it as, I think of it as the soul's connection to spirit, because it is the air that is our densest quality, our densest cellular structure that is now connecting with an air that is ephemeral, that is so highly refined that we can't even really articulate it. The words I am using are inadequate to really explain what it is. We have fire of air. And we could equate that with fire of the mind. It's when you get those brilliant thoughts in your head that just won't go away until you act upon them. It literally feels like your mind is aflame or ablaze with whatever it is that you want to do. And that fire part is actually exerting your will through the medium of air. It's action upon air. We have water of air, which is the movement and energy that we sometimes see and we most often do not see. The water of air is also that fluidity of our emotions. When our emotions connect with our head, when they are just purely of the heart, it's water of water. When you have that rare moment where heart and head are on board with one another and moving, it is a flow. It's a continual dialogue that your head is now having with what your emotions are feeling. It's what your emotions are feeling that tell you what the mental process or the mental outcome is therefore going to be. The last is earth of air. And with the earth of air, I see it as movement and form. We had water, which was the movement and the force. And it takes that force of inertia in order for our head and our heart to get on board with one another. When we come to a point of earth of air, we have form. We've landed. We have now taken what has moved from our desires through the refined process, and yeah, this sounds very Kabbalistic, through the refined process of our mind, which then is able to send it back down to us in some manifest form. So when we have air of earth, it actually is the final product, if you want to think of it that way, as the of the other four. And of course, spirit of air, I can't even speak to that one, because that is Tifereth right up to Keter and beyond, into the three veils, if you want to think of it that way. It's touching the Godhead at such a strong force. It's the opening, the geyser that rushes forth, that is spurred on by the air. It is the word that was spoken in the beginning that created all of life. So spirit of air is actually one of the very potent combinations that we as spiritual workers strive for. It's that union of moving straight up and touching our higher selves and our and that part of ourself, which lay in the realms that are so finely dispersed. So what I'd like to do now, and this is just a very simple exercise, is the fourfold breath. You may already all know this, some of you may not. It's a very basic way to get all of your parts of self on board. What I mean by that is we're going to give four counts to the breathing in, four counts to holding it. That's our space of silence. Four counts to expanding it outwards, and then another four counts, which is our another space of kind of refining everything. We're going to do this five times, all right? So pace yourself in terms of your breathing. As you are breathing and going through this action, what I'd like you to do is try to center on some aspect of yourself that you would like to see moving in a much more controlled manner. And use that as your anchor and your point of focus. And see by the time we get to that fifth part of it, and I'm purposefully using five for disruption and change, by the time we get to the fifth part of this, I want you to see it fully evolved into what it is you wish. All right? So we're going to breathe in and breathe one, two, three, four, and hold. Two, three, four, release. Two, three, four, and integrate. Two, three, four, breathe in. Two, three, four, and hold. Two, three, four, gently release. Two, three, four, and synthesize. Two, three, four, breathe in. Two, three, four, and hold. Two, three, four, release. Two, three, four, hold. Two, three, four, breathe in. Two, three, four, and hold. Two, three, four, release. Two, three, four, and hold. Two, three, four, last one. Two, three, four, fully integrate. Two, three, four, release what needs to be dispersed. Two, three, four, and see the whole. Two, three, four. And just take a few deep breaths after that, because having that kind of control with your breathing sometimes throws off your natural rhythm if you're not used to breathing in that way. How do you all feel? You look clearer. Do you feel lighter? Do you feel more engaged, more alert, more present? Yeah, y'all look a lot more present, more fully present. So that is an exercise that you could actually start your work with, any type of work. It's a very good exercise to do before you go into ritual space. as part of your ritual preparation. It's a good exercise to begin a meditation if you do regular meditative practice, as I know we all do. It's also something that's very good to do just even, you know, at work, if you feel that a stressful meeting's coming up, or even if there is no stress at work. It's a very good practice to just periodically throw that exercise in there. The more you practice that, the more readily the breath will flow. And you will find that if you do this fairly regularly, after a few months, usually the waiting period is about 8 weeks, after a few months, you will take notice that your regular pattern of breathing will be much calmer and much longer and much more fulfilling and deeper. Now let's talk a little bit about light. So we have lights that are on here in this room. Essentially, when we think about light, we're thinking about something that is glowing. We can also think of it in terms of being the product of the interaction between the polarities. The light that is produced is the cross-section of what is the negative and the positive coming together, and it is at that point where the two meet, the two have the interface, that light actually occurs. So when we think about light and then we try to apply that to ourselves in a spiritual manner, what does that mean? Well, one of the ways that we can make application of that is again, working with our chakra points. They are the vortices of energy. However, you can also work more specifically with the cross points, not with the energy of the chakra itself that serves to inform it. But one of the really neat parts is actually where they cross one another, particularly when you're doing the serpentine coiling or engaging the lunar and the solar aspects, engaging the negative and the positive aspects. At some point, they intersect one another, right before and right after each of the chakras. Those are actually the points where that flash of light occurs. That's where the striking of the match is. Everything, the space that is in between, is the pure essence of it. But what it really does and where it really happens are those little axes of points where they cross one another. It's the friction that's needed. So if we think of it in that way, then we can also use those access points to really bring forth the light in specific areas, to activate it in a specific way that draws upon more than just one chakra point. Because when you're doing it in that manner, you're actually drawing on the one that precedes it and the one that follows it as well. And you're bringing them into a synthesized whole, which with any spiritual practice, the whole point is the story from the beginning and cyclically around to the end again. So everything has its own pattern of cycle, and that's the energy that you wish to bring in. I have something here that I copied out, and I'm just going to read it to you. It's a scientific basic theory of light. Light is a form of radiant energy that travels in waves made up of vibrating electric and magnetic fields. These waves have both a frequency and a length, the values of which distinguish light from other forms of energy on the electromagnetic spectrum. So if you just take that at a purely mundane level, it's kind of cool when you think about it. We all know that, you know, light emits waves and all of that stuff. But if you really dissect that and think about what that means at a spiritual level, you know, we have the waves, which is the fluid of motion. We have that point of everything contracting and pulling straight and becoming a straight singular line through which that energy can flow, and then it moves back again to those waves. What did we say in the beginning? Breath is contraction and expansion. It's that action of the waves that are occurring. Now, when we talk about light and how to engage light, and I am going to jump ahead a little bit here, which I tend to do. I write, type up these beautiful handouts, and then I just kind of go off on my own little thing. However, we're going to jump ahead to the other part of this, which is the solar connection. All right? since we're talking about light. When you are thinking of the solar aspects with this, there are actually three forms that the solar energy takes. The photon, which is the pure electricity of it. Now remember, we're talking about the wavelengths and all of that stuff. So you have that. You have prana, which takes the form of the solar energy. And the prana is actually the life force that transforms. It is what is the core essence of that energy that we've drawn into ourselves. And then we have the kundalini, or the, as I put on here, serpent fire, little typo there, serpent fire. And that is the product of those forms coming together. So if we think about this, we could actually call on the Fohat, the sun itself, the electricity from the sun itself, drawing and breathing it into our body to stimulate the prana, which is the life force of our body, which then in turn, through spiritual practice, we can use and transform into the serpent energy or the kundalini awakening. So it's one continuous cycle coming from the solar venue, the physical sun, moving in and through our subtle bodies, moving out back again up to the spiritual sun that is behind the physical sun that we see. So if we engage our breath with this, if we literally on a sunny day go out and breathe in the rays of the sun, imagine the sun extending downward into our being and breathe those rays in and take them into ourselves and see that energy infusing every cell in our body. See it infusing not only the cells in our physical body, but ergo it also infuses the etheric and the subtle bodies that follow out from that point. And then using that energy in a return process in sending it back out again. So we have the potential to really make ourselves magnetized fields, if you will, for this energy. And the vehicle for that magnetism is our breath, because it is the one thing that we can do that will extend beyond ourselves and also reach back into ourselves, that will fill our being, that is directly connected to some physical component of our body, that's not just spiritual matter, but can directly impact us at a physical level, and therefore it will also impact us in all the other levels that surround us as well. Now, another little thing that you could do would be to go out and draw upon the spiritual sun and draw it in through your subtle bodies and have it feed into your physical being. That's another way that you could approach it. Just all depends on what your focus is.
That sounds like it could be very physically healing too.
It could be, and that's one of the things that you can use this protocol that we're going to go through for. It's actually, you know, it's very similar to using Reiki and the light that comes in through the hands and using that light in a very specific way. Now imagine if it's not just there, but if you're also continually, if you are connecting here and drawing it down into yourself and then sending it out through the vehicle of the hands, and then also having the focus and intent of engaging that energy, that fohat, that is within the person you are doing the healing on, of course, with their permission as well, it can make for very potent work that goes a little bit beyond what normal energetic healing would address. So yes, that's an excellent comment or point to make. The other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, and it's about energy itself. There are there's more than this, but we're only going to go with the three. There are three basic ways that energy presents itself around us. We have the vertical loop, that everyone is familiar with, especially if you do any type of chakra work. Draw it up through the straight line, through all the chakras, send it out in a fountain, out through your transpersonal, out through your crown, and it comes back down around under your feet. Or some call it the Earth Star Chakra, which is lower than your root chakra. That's only one that's occurring as we're sitting here. We also have a spiral of energy that goes this way. So we have a coiling effect. We have this, which is a circuit. We have this around ourselves, which is the coiling upwards and moving downwards, which works around us, expands out in this direction. And then we also have a gyroscope of energy that moves around us. The vertical and the horizontal, eventually, when they move quickly enough, do become that gyroscope. But whether they do or not, there is gyroscopic energy that is moving around us now. And remember what I said to you about the chakra points and the points of crossing and intersection? Well, what does a gyroscope do? It crosses over itself at two points of connection. So it's at those two points of connection that actually we can draw in the most energy, not just thinking about this vertical circle and not just thinking about this, but if we concentrate on what happens when they rotate around one another and then use both points to draw from, we now have positive, we have negative, and we have the space in between, which is neutrality. And that is where the electrical charge happens. It's the triangle of energy. It's the positive current, the negative current, putting the exposed wire in water. And what happens? We have electricity or something that resembles electricity. And that point where they touch or intersect is one of the points of the gyroscope. If you guys are getting cold because the temperature's dropping, please feel free to open the door. That's fine, because it will let a little bit of the heat in from the outside, and open doors don't bother me, and I don't think they'll bother you. We're pretty sealed in here. And I don't think I can't do anything to adjust it. So we have those three forms of energy. What I'd like to do next is one more experiential, and I feel to some degree, and I apologize, like I'm rushing through a lot of this. As you can see, there's a whole lot more that we could just, we're barely scratching the surface with this, but I really wanted to leave a nice chunk of time at the end so that I can take you through the protocol itself, because I think that will be the most telling of all of it. The next thing that I would like to do, however, is, excuse me, just another experiential. This is going to be a visualization, and essentially what we're going to do is I'm going to talk you through you envisioning yourself sitting in this physical space in these chairs. You're going to see yourself sitting in this space in these physical chairs on your inner screen, and you're going to see yourself stand up and step outside of yourself. You're going to be standing directly in front of yourself with your back to yourself and only the silhouette showing. And I'm going to talk you through all this, so don't worry. You don't have to remember, but I wanted to prepare you. And then as you have that image facing you, we're going to take some breathing. And as we breathe, you're going to breathe into the silhouette, which is actually the etheric double. You're going to breathe into that. And I want you to consciously make note of how it either lightens, darkens, expands a little bit more, does not expand, whatever. I want you to take note of what happens in that field that closely settles around your physical body as we're doing this visualization. And we're going to activate all of it through the intent of breath. So you're literally going to be breathing into it. And then we'll see what happens with that. So just put all your things down. Make sure your feet are firmly planted underneath. The reason you hear people say that is because it aligns your hips with your pelvic area. It aligns your knees in the proper format. There are also chakras in the soles of our feet. So it helps them to be in a stable position. And you always want to make sure that you're as erect as possible, because we are drawing on the imaginary central channel, which you cannot see. And we'll talk about that after this exercise. So let's just take a few deep breaths in to begin. Close your eyes. And I'm also going to turn down these lights too. And on your inner screen, I just want you to be aware of what the silhouette of your body sitting in this chair would look like. The physicality of it, whether the cushion is soft or a little hard and you're feeling a little uncomfortable. I want you to make note of all of those things. See this on your inner screen. See yourself, the front view of yourself, sitting in this space. Now I want you to shift the focus of your attention and draw it into the you that is sitting in these chairs, so that you are now looking out. You are not observing yourself, but you are in and within yourself and looking out at the blank space that is just ahead of you. Take a nice deep breath in, and as you exhale, see a double image of yourself stand up out of this chair a few feet directly in front of you. From this point, you can only see the silhouette of your image standing directly in front of you. Take a moment to finely tune your inner landscape to what that silhouette looks like. You now see, as you continue to look at it, a very, very thin layer at first that seems to be scribed around the edge of this silhouette. Take a deep breath in, and as you exhale, see that thin line fill with the beginnings of a light. Take another deep breath in, and with your will and focus, see that area brighten a bit more. It's almost as though you are standing in front of a bright light, and the image around your silhouette outlines it, but gives it a luminescent quality. Continue to breathe into this space that surrounds the double of your body. Make note of what happens as you exhale into it each time. Does it become brighter? Does it dim? Does it expand, become fuller? Test the parameters a few times, breathing in and out gently. Now shift your awareness to the in-breath. As you breathe in, does this light dim? And then as you exhale, does it pulse with more vibrancy? Try to give intent to this being the natural working of what you see standing in front of you. As you breathe in, the luminosity dims slightly, and as you exhale, it becomes more vibrant, more full, more enlivened. And just do this for a few simple breaths, making note of the changes. Take a deep breath in, and as you exhale out, this double image gently returns back to join with the vision of you sitting in this chair, in this space. The two are one, harmonized, although now you are a bit more enlivened than you were. Take another deep breath in and send the awareness to once again being the observer of you sitting in this chair, looking upon yourself. Make note of any changes. Take another deep breath in, and as you exhale, gently allow this image to fade. Allow the feelings of this space and your body and the seats to come into full awareness. Take another deep breath in, and as you exhale, allow yourself to be fully present in the space. Fully present in these seats. Come back. Nice deep breath. All right, what we're going to do now, just to bring you back into a little more vibratory resonance, because right now you're looking very glowy and very clean with the glow and all, but you also are looking a little slow. And I don't mean that in a bad sense. I mean, no, your vibratory rate is it's down. It's a little slow, all right? So what I'd like to do is tone through your chakras, all right? Your chakras, for those of you real quick and dirty, your chakras are the vortices. They are the outlets of energy, you could say, if you will, that reside in the subtle bodies. They are replicated in each of the subtle bodies. So there are not just one layer of chakras. There are 7, plus depending on the system, to 12 different layers of chakras within your subtle bodies, depending on how far out you go. The main purpose of them is to draw energy into you and also to send energy out. Each of these chakras is attributed to some specific thing, and at a very mundane level, your root chakra is your primary survival instinct. Your sacral chakra area is your creative impulses. It resides at the pelvic bowl with the sexual organs. Your solar plexus chakra relates to the sun, your willpower, the energy that you put out there. Your heart chakra is compassion. Your throat chakra deals with speech, how you communicate, what you send on the breeze or the winds of your words. Your third eye opens to the intuitive self. Your crown chakra is one of the beginner interfaces between several of the glands and also the high point of, well, the low point of your higher self. And some people may not agree with that, but this is the way I perceive it. Your transpersonal, which is approximately up here, is also sometimes called the Ba, celestial soul. It's the connecting point that is the interface between you and the divine that resides way above. And that's why there are sometimes more than just the 7 chakras that extend up and beyond. It all depends on the system that you work with. So what we're going to do is we're just going to tone through them. We're not going to use the bijan mantras, which are specific seed sounds that would be used in a yogic practice. What we are going to use are the more Western approach tones. And what I'd like to do is I will tone it first so that you can hear what it sounds like, and then you will tone it with me. So the intent is that as we are toning it, you are sending your awareness to those chakra points. All right? Does everyone know where the points of the chakras are on your body? Or I should say, does anyone not know where they are? Excellent. Okay, very good. So we're going to begin with our root chakra, and that seed sound is O. 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 And try not to cut these sounds off abruptly. All right, you want to have the full sound of it, so it's not just oh. Let it kind of roll off. The second one for the sacral is ooh, like ooh. The solar plexus is awe, as in I am in awe of the sun. The heart is ah, as if you just saw a beautiful picture of a baby. The throat is not like that, but it's almost as though you're clearing your throat. If you do it correctly, you will feel a vibration in your throat at your throat level. Again, you should feel a vibration at the palate of the mouth. And if you are doing that frequently, sometimes you will feel the pituitary gland open behind the nose as you're doing that, which is one of the reasons you do it. And E for the crown. E. And we'll finish with an OM for the transpersonal. Any pitch you wish. Expansion of your lungs. You should feel a little warmer now as well. That's an easy exercise that you could do in the morning or the evening. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. You just need somewhere that you feel comfortable making those sounds. There are specific ways in which you can form your mouth also as you're making the sounds, but that's a whole other class. But essentially, the toning of the chakras, it's the vibration that works in conjunction with the energy that is moving. Energy is vibration. So when we talk about vibration, we're not only talking about the vibration of light and the resulting vibration that we have when we have sound affecting us in some way, shape, or form, whether we're making it ourselves or using a singing bowl or something else. We're also talking about the vibration that occurs with colors that we see, which is why the chakras have specific colors attributed to them, which is why the Sephiroth of a Kabbalistic Tree of Life has four worlds of colors associated with it, and a little more too, but we won't talk about those as well, when you think about the combinations. So we are bombarded by color, which means we are bombarded daily with vibration, which means we are bombarded daily with light and with energy. Because color is simply light that is vibrating at a specific rate of frequency. Which is why when you have the beautiful prism that looks crystal clear and you set it up near the sunlight and the Fohat works through it and the prana is gathered through it and then it disperses out and gives you this beautiful rainbow of color, it's really the vibration that is having impact on the light that is coming through that is sending out the stream of energy in a specific way. And that is basically what the breath of light is that we're going to be doing. The protocol is taking the specificity of light, the energy of light, coordinating it with breath, which creates its own method of vibration. Imbuing it with, if you wish, color, because we will run it up through the chakras. You can use the color attributions if you wish. You actually don't need to, because if you do this often enough, other colors will present that are not your standard chakra colors, which means that you're also dipping more in and out into the subtle bodies, which just as with the four worlds of the Kabbalistic tree, the colors change ever so slightly. Well, so too do the colors change as you move out through your subtle bodies. So we're using all of those components together in a way that will activate energy in a light-filled way, using the vehicle of breath and sending it out both for ourselves and also for those that we interact with. Now, I gave you on here this little sheet. I gave you the different subtle bodies and just a little bit about it. I was going to go a little bit more into that, particularly the etheric body. The main thing that you need to know is that it is through the etheric body that light comes to be. It is the interface between our physical body and the beginnings of our subtle bodies that we're going to work through. It receives and it distributes the prana or the life force that is issued from the sources of light, some of which we already talked about, and from the breath as well. Now, there are seven layers within each of the layers of the subtle bodies. So for our purposes, I do have down here, at the level of the physical body, we have solid, liquid, and gaseous materials. Okay, so why is this important? Well, solid, because the work that we do, we want to bring into physical manifestation. That's your form. Liquid, because we want it to also flow through and be caught among the waves of the energy that surrounds us, which is flowing constantly and moving. So that's liquid in a very kind of esoteric way of thinking about it. The gaseous, in that at some point, when all of these things work in conjunction and tandem with one another, we get the very, very refined mist that is almost gaseous in its nature. Easiest thing I could give you as a visual analogy would be when you're looking at a road surface and you see those heat waves coming off of it. Yeah. Spiritual gaseous nature. It's the physical that has had something react upon it. So that's the solid form, which now turns it into something that is liquid. But it's not only liquid, but it almost looks like gas. It looks like something that, and it does, literally at some certain point, it blends so refined into the rest of the atmosphere that you no longer notice the waves. They're still there. They didn't just suddenly get cut off, but they've been transformed and transmuted. So we have those that are components of the physical body that then react with the interface of the etheric body. And with the etheric body, we have the super etheric component, and this is the highly refined state of what has acted upon it. We have the subatomic level, which means all of those little components that have gone into the making of something that is a highly refined substance. And we have the atomic level, which means that within this interface of our etheric body lay the blueprint, the atomic blueprint, the holographic image of each of the cells within our own physical being. And that's why we have our physical being, is because of that replication being sent forward, because of the manifest action upon it. So I'm not going to go into any more detail with that, because you can look at this, you know, when we leave here, and there are a lot of inferences that you will be able to draw from the protocol that we're going to go through and the technique. And then I actually really would like for you to come to your own conclusions and connect your own dots, because it's not the same for every individual. Every individual has their own specific thing they resonate to. Remember, it's vibration. You know, I might like that singing bowl, and somebody else would find it extraordinarily irritating, the tone and the pitch of it. So it's a very personal thing. The thing is that when you do any of this work with focus and intent, you will much more readily find the thing that you resonate to, because you will begin to see little inroads that you didn't see before. More importantly, your mind will get on board, and you'll be able to decipher little keys that were not there before, which means that when you have those little connections, it opens up a little bit broader picture of the puzzle. And then you know that, okay, this is what resonates with me. Maybe I need to do the toning of the chakras in order to get me into a good state where I can do the other work. Maybe that I find irritating. Maybe I just need to sit in quiet space and meditate on what they look like, do a visualization. So experiment with what works for you. And the same is true in terms of the subtle bodies. It almost is something that is really impossible to describe to you. And I know that sounds inept, but I can't give you the description of what those bodies feel like. Because again, it's highly personal. And my description is going to be based on my experience, which could be completely off from what your experience would be. And that's where the practice and the repetition of various things comes into play. And that's also where, when you start thinking from an aspect of filling yourself with light, not just life force, but filling yourself with light, it opens up all those little caverns within your own being that then you can see a clearer picture of what's really going on in there. And if I can see a clearer picture of that, then I can certainly begin to see more of where the physical me separates from the etheric me, which separates from the astral me, which separates from the mental me. All right? But it's a bit-by-bit process. And that was really long and tangential, but it was relevant nonetheless. So what I would like to do, because I did want to leave a nice chunk of time, and I do also want to honor the fact that you all want to have something to eat for dinner, too, so I don't want to go over. Before we actually do the protocol itself, I just wanted to talk briefly about some of the uses for this. We talked a little bit about the healing aspect, the transference of light and energy with directed focus that goes a little bit beyond what your standard Reiki would do, what your standard tuning fork would do, what your standard sound therapy would do. If you're constantly infusing it with this energy of light and making yourself that vessel of that light, all of the other modalities will fall very naturally in accord and in resonance with whatever it is you are doing. So you could think of it as an adjunct, your continuing ed credits. Let's think of it that way. in support of what you already know at your base knowledge. You can use it in ritual work, not just prior to ritual, but you can actually use this protocol, and I've done this with our coven, used it in the ritual itself as part of the enlivening process. We did this a couple times, actually. We had a year where we decided we were going to do the solar mysteries, and we were going to follow the Egyptian pantheon. We are not an Egyptian coven, but we decided we were going to do that. And I used this, that was one of the first places I worked on it a little bit, for a couple of the rituals, because essentially we were following the cycle of the sun god through the various phases, and each of the rituals went through the year at a specific point and aligned very heavily. And there were a couple points that aligned very nicely with this, because we needed to be up here quickly. Let's put it that way. And it did it. And it worked in a very nice way, especially since we were using the solar as the anchor of all the work. Personal practice, obviously, it will enhance whatever you do personally. Self-renewal, you can use this as a modality not only for healing others, but you will also start to feel very energized. Depending on how much and how attuned you are to doing this particular practice will determine how long the effects last afterwards. Sometimes when I've done this quickly, you know, I felt really tuned in for a couple hours, and sometimes it's been less than that. It just all depends also on where your headspace is while you're doing it as well. And then also for public speaking. And that brings in going back again to the specific chakras that you wish to use. If you are going into a meeting with someone that you know is going to be backing you into a corner, let's say, you can enliven your heart chakra, really good idea, so that you will respond versus react. So that the words you are saying, you connect the throat chakra with the heart center, so that the words you are saying are coming from a place that is heart-centered. I'm not saying that it will be Pollyanna, everything will work out fine, but you will at least be doing your work to ensure that more fuel is not added to the flames, especially if you know that this particular individual likes to kind of rev you up, you know? Conversely, if you're going into a meeting with someone who is very apathetic, you may wish to rev up your own solar plexus so that as you're speaking to them or as you're actually working with them, the energy that you're putting out, the dynamics that you're giving out, the fire that you're offering up, may catch a little bit with the person that you're speaking with. For public speaking, I usually use when I'm teaching this type of stuff, my throat and my third eye. Primarily because I want to make sure that what is coming through is from some other source other than my own bias, as much as I can. Nobody can do that perfectly. And also because I want it to be carried out in a way that it will be received at multiple levels. So those are some of the ways that you can adapt this. Before we actually go to, and I tell you what we're going to be doing, does anyone have any questions? I didn't really leave an opportunity for that. I tend to just kind of like take one breath and then go all the way through. So you have to kind of jump right in because I get really enthused about stuff. But does anyone have any questions or comments or even, not critiques, but differing opinion? Linda.
I'm thinking about the chakras and the interstices between the where the cross and the energy. And there are times in meditation it feels like my heart chakra might be up here, and sometimes it feels lower. I feel that the chakras move.
They do.
And so those intersection points would move as well.
They do, and they will. Right. And it also has to do with which of the subtle bodies you're connecting with as well. Because they're not aligned. It's not like one right after the other, right after the other. There's an expansiveness. There's also at certain points Mirror image.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Yes, they will. Which is why I hesitate to teach chakras from the standpoint that, you know, I do the traditional method, which is, yes, this is here and this is here. It really is. I mean, it is for the basics, but it really isn't. Because as you expand, if you're in a spiritual state of expansion as you're doing the work, depending on what the work is, conversely, it's gonna, you know, if you're expanding and moving out and you're pushing the bounds of your subtle body flexibility, well, it stands to reason that the chakras aren't going to just stay there and not do anything too, because they are inhabited within your subtle body. So it means directly whatever you're placing in your subtle fields, conversely, the chakras will respond in the same way as well as anything else that happens to be in those subtle body fields too. Does anyone else have any comment or anything? Okay, and this, I promise, will warm you up as well.
Yes, ma'am. Would you mind if I hold these?
No, go for it. If you think, plus we've got the door there, which is not helping either. All right, so basically what we're going to do is the overlay. We're going to start with our breathing, focusing our breathing. Accumulating, what I want you to envision is as though you're breathing in liquid drops of something. We're going to start that breath in through our root space, through the perineum, if you wish. And you're going to think of it as being a huge pelvic bowl down here. And I want you to see drops of that breath filling that space. As you're breathing into that space, there is going to be a point where it's going to feel full, very full. And remember I said, sometimes too, the natural byproduct is you start to feel sexually aroused. That's fine. It means that the energy is working, all right? From that point of drawing it into that space, what we're going to do is we're going to draw it in through that space, drop it down, and we're going to pull some of it up and push it out through our sacral chakra. All right, so literally we're going to be breathing it in, exhaling into that space of pelvic bowl, and I will talk you through all of this. Our next inhalation is going to draw it up, and you're going to send it out through the sacral area. The best way, although it's a little cheesy way to imagine this, is like layers of discs is what we're going to end up with, although that's not exactly right, but it will give you a good imagery to work with. And then we're going to draw back down in again and take up from that pelvic bowl area the energy. We're going to pull it up and we're going to send some of it out into the solar plexus area. I am not going to use colors, all right, just so you know. It's going to be just pure energy going out. Let your mind fill in the blank, whatever color, if any at all, you wish to have, all right? Drop it down again, bring it up, send it out through the solar plexus. When we get to that point, because your heart is your interface point, and these lower chakras generally need a little bit more of a push than your upper chakras need, we're not going to be concerning ourselves anymore with the bowl that's beneath. We're going to just be drawing the energy up. We're going to be sending it out through the heart, and this is 360 degrees, front, back, side, everything. We're going to draw it up. We're going to send it out through the throat. We're going to draw it up. We're going to send it out through the third eye. We're going to draw it up. We're going to send it out through the crown. All right? When we get to the crown chakra, we have multiple layers of discs. Remember I said to you that energy works this way, and it works this way as well. When we get to the crown chakra, we're going to take some breaths in. And as we're breathing, we're going to go back down to the vortices of the chakra points. And just like lights on a Christmas tree, at each of those crossing intersections between the root and the sacral, between the sacral and the solar plexus, a light's going to, we're going to, with intent, send a light through those areas. All right? As we're breathing out. When we get up to the crown chakra again, We're going to breathe all of that energy up towards our transpersonal, with the addition of sending appreciation and gratitude up to that soul center, because that is what will open it, and everything will cascade down around you, and you should be encased in a sheath of light. At that point, you're going to stay in it just for a little bit, all right, so that you can, and I want you to try, and I'll talk you through this, remind you as well, just so that you can make note of how it feels. And that's why it's good to practice this, because then you can get up and walk around. It's not something you have to sit down doing. You can be walking around with this going on. You know, this way you can see how it feels. You can breathe into it more if you wish, so that it will expand out a little bit more. Just play with it and see what happens for you. And then the way we're going to shut it down may seem rather abrupt, but it really isn't, and it's necessary. The way we're going to shut it down is actually by our inhalation. And with the inhalation, we're going to draw the whole construct back into the various points that we've opened. And then we're going to allow it to settle, to mingle, to integrate, and inform our inner selves. Okay? All right, so put your things down. Sure, yeah, if you want to sit on the floor, that's fine. If you find that more comfortable, that's fine. Just please make sure that you are sitting up straight. The important point is from that central column, which we didn't really talk about, but it runs from your perineum directly up very close along the line of the spine. It's the sushumna. In the Eastern philosophy, or called the central column, it's that energy center that connects you as above. So below, that's where that actually kind of comes from. Okay, is everyone as comfortable as they can be? All right, close your eyes. Did you find it easier when I had the lights off?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because these lights are not even, which is a bit distracting.
Or else they're distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fluorescent,
which is even worse. And this is where if that candle were really lit, but that's okay.
I see a flame right there.
There, it's there. Okay. All right. Let's just take a few breaths. Let's do two of the fourfold breaths just to kind of get you into the correct headspace. So let's breathe in gently. 2, 3, 4, and hold. 2, 3, 4, release. 2, 3, 4, and hold. 2, 3, 4. Breathe in. 2, 3, 4, and hold. 2, 3, 4, release. Rest. Let your consciousness drop so that it resides at the space of your root chakra, somewhere between your knees and the midpoint of your thighs. I want you to breathe in, and as you breathe in, draw that energy in through the space of your perineum. See the droplets of that breath and energy filling a space that resembles a bowl. Breathe in. Allow the breath and the energy to drop into that bowl, filling it. Breathe in. Allow it to fill the space of the bowl. Continue in this way for a few more breaths at your own rhythm and pace. The next few breaths we take in, we're going to begin the process of drawing that energy up. Breathe in to the pelvic bowl. Allow the energy to drop down. Breathe up a piece of that energy and exhale it out through the sacral center. 360 degrees. Breathe in, draw up a bit more of that energy, and push it out again through the sacral center. Feel the expansion. One more breath in, and push it out through the sacral chakra. Breathe in again through the perineum and add a few more drops into that pelvic bowl space before we draw it up any further. We're going to begin to draw it up again. Breathe in to the pelvic bowl. Draw up the energy past the sacral, up to the solar plexus, and push it out. 360 degrees. Breathe in, draw it up, past the sacral, push it out through the solar plexus. We're going to take it up further. Breathe into the pelvic bowl. Draw it up. Push it out. Out through the heart center. Expanding 360 degrees. Breathe in. Draw more of the energy up. Breathe it out through your throat. If you need to lift your chin a little bit to allow the neck to expand, do so. Breathe in, draw it up, push it out through the third eye. 360 degrees. Breathe in, draw it up. Push it out through the crown chakra. Take a few deep breaths in to enliven each of the spaces that you've just pushed the energy through, disc by disc by disc by disc by disc. We're now going to enliven each of the cross points. Drop your focus and awareness to the intersection between the root chakra and the sacral. Draw the breath in, and as you exhale, see a burst of light growing from that point. Shift your awareness up to the vortices between the sacral and the solar plexus. Breathe in. Send that energy out, that breath out, and see another light opening, expanding, luminescent. Draw the focus up between the solar plexus and the heart. Breathe that energy out and see an even fuller, brighter, more luminescent light bursting forth from that point of intersection. Breathe in. Shift your focus to the space between your heart and your throat. And as you exhale, send a shaft of pure light through that point of vortices. Shift your focus up between the third eye and the crown chakra. Breathe in and push that energy out. Light, moving, flowing. One final breath up, and send that breath up towards your transpersonal chakra. Continue to breathe up and into that space of light, the celestial soul. Think upon a time for which you have great gratitude and appreciation. And with each exhalation, send that gratitude up to that point, that space. Continue to breathe into all of those lights. Take one more deep breath in, and as you exhale, see a cascade of that light of energy surrounding you as a sheath. Make note of the color of its brilliance. Make note of its feel. Feed it more breath, more energy, more focus. See how it changes. Does it expand? Change color. Take a moment to run your awareness through each of those points of light. Just to check in. Give thanks for each of those points of energy within your body. Find a center point of focus, either your heart or your solar plexus. And now as we breathe in, you're going to imagine each of those points drawing back into your physical being, into your subtle bodies. Each of those points of light, infused with gratitude, infused with energy. All returning back to you with each inhalation. Feel the encasing and the sheath of this light that surrounds you, molding back into the physical form of your physical self. Make note of how you feel. Take another deep breath in, drawing the last residual in, and as you exhale, gently open your eyes and return to the space. Feel the energy in this room right now? Mm-hmm. Take a few more deep breaths in, everybody. Just move your arms and your shoulders a little bit as well. Fully present in the physicality of your being. Y'all are down. 4 feet off of the floor. Does anyone have anything they would like to comment about or to make?
I do have a question.
Mm-hmm. A little louder.
I do have a question. I was wondering what would happen, well, any other time that I've done something similar like this with you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have this great expansion or this stretching up, and then we come back to ourselves and to our physical being.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just wonder, is there something specific that would happen, or is there some sort of danger to if we're expanding out into other subtle bodies, not returning back to our specifically physical self before we go out into the world and start
mm-hmm.
trying to interact? Is there,
mm-hmm. I understand.
Is there a danger?
Saying.
Like, is there?
It's not a danger so much as the fact that, I mean, okay, at a very practical level, we continually are merging and blending with each other's subtle bodies. We just don't, we're not aware of it.
Right.
Which is why, you know, we can walk in, and also, I should say, the residual of other people's subtle bodies, which is why you can walk into a room where there's been an argument and you didn't know anything was going on and you feel extraordinarily uncomfortable.
Mm.
So, with that being said, and most often what you're doing when you do that, it is not with the focus and the intent. Focus and intent make a big difference to what the outcome may be. If you are expanding all of your subtle bodies with the focus and intent of encroaching on someone else, that's not good. No. And you are going to draw to yourself whatever crap they have, just as they're going to draw, you know, they're going to experience a little bit of what's possibly not so good going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
In using something like this, I would say that until you know how to properly control it, which means that you only expand out as far as you know you need to, and then with that expansion, there are specific shields that I put on that I have up so that I would not impact everyone in here and send the feelers out in a way that I should not be doing, all right? Because I've been practicing this for a while. So if I did not have my own parameters put on me, you would have taken a really different trip, let's put it that way. So that's something to know as well. So whenever you're experimenting with something new like this, the best baseline I would say is to practice it in a space where you are not necessarily, there is no one else with you. So you don't have to worry about that. And then beyond that, as you are practicing it, really be consciously aware of what the boundaries are that you're expanding to. And don't just let them overflow every which way. And just as with everything like this, there is a specific time and place to use it. And when I was talking about enlivening yourself and then walking around and everything, I did not, and perhaps I should have put a little disclaimer on that. I didn't mean to just, like, for the experience of it, you know, get yourself all worked up and then go out to a meeting with people or something like that. Specifically, when I was talking about using the various chakra points in a specific way, it was only using a few of them, one or two at the most, to interact with someone. And that's not directly encroaching on their subtle bodies. It's causing a vibratory reaction, but not in the way that you're thinking.
Okay, so it's more likely that you could potentially hurt someone else or get into somebody else's energetic wave, and that it could have a negative.
It's not even really hurt. I mean,
okay.
It's just, it's the same thing as somebody who has a lot, as somebody who has a lot of emotional baggage, and they come into the room and it's like, you know, you automatically feel.
So then you can start getting some of that in you and on you?
Well, you react to it. It doesn't necessarily penetrate into you, but you are reacting to it. Your bodies are responding, ergo you are reacting to whatever is going on around you. And as I said, that occurs all the time. We are continually influenced by people that we're around, good or bad. And we are continually sloughing off, you know. Well, really, we are. We're continually sloughing off someone else's residue. And it really boils down to what kind of spiritual immune system you have going. You can open it. Yeah, what kind of spiritual immune system you have built up.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much for coming,
you,
and I hope you found something to talk. And before you all disperse, and this is something very new to me, and those of you who know me know this is really uncomfortable, but a shameless plug, I wrote three books. They are at BTW, and I feel really embarrassed doing this one day.
Hey, they're really good books.
But if you're interested, they are in the bookstore.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob.